B-Pod Studios.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's 12 o'clock. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic WPEN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studios, only from Comcast. We're a Beasley Media Group station. Talk about when you lost your sports innocence. Man, Stu was dead on. Reggie White leaving. Like, he said God told him to go to Green Bay. We were like, yo, man, God doesn't live here.
Yeah. You're like, oh.
What's the matter, man? We're not good enough for God.
He's now in a high rise in Center City.
What's Philadelphia? Hell? Right. God lives in Green Bay.
Well, some people might say that. Coming to the vet.
No, I hear you. That's why I said it like that. But it was. It all started with Keith Jackson, who left, and he was this great tight end. And then with Reggie, I mean, that was the end of it. We hated Norman Brayman. Oh, I hated him, hate. But that's a great end to sports innocence. I got to think about this stuff. Any kind of local, like free agencies and trades, like all that stuff is the end of sports innocence, right?
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying, like, would Bynum be on there for some people? You know, they make this big trade. They bring him in. Remember, there was Andrew Bynum Day. And then he never plays. And it's not because he was like this brittle old man. It's because he was doing, he didn't care as much about basketball. He was out there doing flamingo dancing and bowling.
Right. Right. The trade.
We're all worried about Andrew Bynum's injury. Yeah. And Andrew Bynum's worried about, you know, hitting the spare.
Yeah.
Right? Even Embiid, we're all worried about the NBA Finals. And Embiid, you know, he's going to comedy shows. Remember, people were upset with him because he danced on stage at the Meek Mill concert?
Yeah, I thought that was overblown.
I think so, too. But I'm sure there were some people that were like, man, what am I doing here worrying about Joel Embiid? He's out there living his life.
What? You're saying that's a sunny moment?
It could be. Like, Sonny, yeah, why are you worried about Joel? Look, he's out. He's on stage.
Sonny Bronxtale moment?
He's enjoying himself, man.
Yeah, but I always thought that Embiid, like, listen, the playoffs against the Raptors is one thing, though, right? Like, that annoyed me that he wasn't ready to play. The comedy show thing.
Right.
Playing video games or whatever. But, like, I didn't care about you go to a concert. Who cares? You know what I mean? One of the things I love about Embiid is that he had a zest for life. But in a weird way, he kind of lost it recently.
Right, the not having as much fun.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying I'm against him going to the concert. What I'm saying is I think there are people that were probably thinking, well, why am I worrying about this dude when he seems fine?
Right.
Like, I don't want to bring it up because I know how anti you are of the movie.
What?
The Fever Pitch.
I never saw the Fever Pitch.
Oh, you never saw it?
No.
But you don't like his... Boston.
It's a Boston thing.
Yeah.
I never watched it.
There was a scene where, you know, Jimmy Fallon and his buddies that go to all the Red Sox games, they went out to a bar after the game. And it was after one of the playoff games, right? And they're all bummed out because the Red Sox lost. And then walked in, I think it was like Damon, Veritek, and somebody else. And they're eating dinner casually. And the guy at the bar is like, we're sitting here crying over a loss. And those three guys just came. They're enjoying a nice night out. And, like, to me, that's kind of a good scene. Like, right? Like, you're sitting there all bummed out. Like, they're in their Red Sox gear. Like, all bummed. Oh, man, they're one loss away from elimination. And they look to their right. Look, they're just having a glass of wine. Eating. Like, it's no big deal.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you gotta eat, right?
Yes.
No, you're right. Like, that's a sports innocence thing. Like, it's why... Players never understand the smiling when you're losing.
The McNabb.
And how we hate that. Not even, like, there was a Do you remember, this was like the end of Chip Kelly. Eagles getting smacked, right? And Fletcher Cox, who was a great player, was always a great, great player, and remains a great, great player, was helping, who was it? He helped them off the, he helped them up, the quarterback of the opposition. Was it Jameis Winston? And then he was like kind of joking around with him.
Yeah, didn't they do a jersey swap or something?
And yeah, and like he was smiling and yucking it up. And I'm going, and I we all made a federal case out of it. And the next day I had him on the show. I go, dude, I go, just FYI, it's a bad look if you celebrate with your opponent when you're down five touchdowns. He's riddling you with touchdown bait, right? Like,
right.
Like, it's a bad look. You know, it's a bad look when you do that. And he got mad. Oh, I don't care about what you guys say, fans. I don't care, blah, blah, blah. I go, I'm just saying, listen, the fans upset. He just wants you to be upset, too, that you're losing. Not that, like, all right, well, I'm going to joke around with, I mean, James Winston just threw five touchdown passes in your face. Right or wrong?
Right. I don't need you acting like you're buddy-buddy.
Right. Like, not like after the game, you do what you got to do, right? After the game. But not during a game. Smile, laugh. Nobody wants to see that. Let's go to Mike in Holland. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Mikey!
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Mikey, how are you?
You guys are the best.
Thanks, brother.
Comment, and then I have something to say that I something that I watched the other day on YouTube. Number one, I think people really need to wake up and understand what people are going through right now. You know, I go home from work. You know, I put my life in jeopardy every day working, serving. You know, I deliver paper supplies. Supermarkets, nursing homes, hospitals. You know, people don't understand. You know, you go home, you watch these commercials, and, you know, these people that are making all this money, tons of money, you know, they're just basically saying, you know, stay home, be safe. When they have no clue what's really going on out there. When you go to a nursing home or you go to a hospital and you have to see a tractor trailer parked, okay, especially in North Jersey.
You know
what's in it. There's dead bodies in there, okay? That's what I'm saying. People have no clue what the real life is, okay? And they want to talk about stay home, you know, make everything disappear. Okay, fine. You go out there, you look at what's really happening in this world. Okay. Now, my Eagles point. 1960, Philadelphia champions of the world on YouTube. Okay. Watch the whole season. Okay. Plus the championship when they beat the Green Bay Packers.
Did you really?
Are you kidding me? It was, I got, my girlfriend right now is like, okay, now what are we going to watch? Okay, my father came over for dinner, all right? And I usually
I'm just curious, how old are
you? I am 47 years old.
Wow, okay. So you weren't around. You decided to watch that season.
Because it was the champs. We were the champs. And I am such an Eagles fan. It's
crazy. That's really cool.
And I'm watching that season. And my father was at the game. Okay. And all I can hear was, I don't know the guy, the gentleman that was the narrator for it, but he said the game wasn't televised and it was played on a Monday.
Yeah.
Because there was something about they couldn't play it on, right? And the stands were sold out at Franklin Field.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, the way the game was played. I mean, you don't see a flag, you know, in the air because, you know, one of the linebackers knocked down the quarterback, you know, and it was football. You know, it was hardcore football back then. I don't remember it. I wasn't alive.
Right. But, I mean, but, you know, let me ask you a question. Let's be real for 1 second.
Go ahead.
Oh, a little prehistoric, no?
It's awesome, though.
Yeah?
Okay.
I'll be honest with you. I'm kind of not on board with that. Hey, listen, I respect it, but if you give me a choice, like, I can't give you the that was football. I mean.
Gotcha.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I like football. I like, does it, I don't know. I mean, you're a little more hard-hitting, whatever.
Right.
But we understand. All right, well, I don't know. I mean, I like passing down the field. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, let me hit you with this.
Yeah.
How would you rate these three players that left the Philadelphia Eagles?
Okay.
Brian Dawkins. Okay. Right. Brian Dawkins, he was a great, probably the best we ever had, and probably will probably never ever see a player better than him in our lifetimes. Okay. Reggie White, okay, who, when he left the Philadelphia Eagles, he went to the Packers. I wasn't too happy about that. Okay. Now, Jerome Brown.
Jerome, okay. When he died, I mean, he was amazing.
When he passed away in 1992.
Yeah, he was outrageous. But Reggie's number one. I mean, it's easy. I mean, Reggie's still probably the best end that ever played. I mean, you could make the argument that Reggie is top, you know, 2-3 at his position all time. I go Dawkins. I love Jerome. But remember, it was a relatively short period of time. He was an amazing defensive tackle. Yeah, I mean,
it was insane.
Yeah, quick, yeah.
Absolutely.
That's a great call by you, brother. Great call. I appreciate it.
I do. When I hang out with my buddies, I call them the cuz. What's up, cuz?
All right, give him a game, Junis. I don't have it in front of me.
All right, well, we're not going to give him the cuz, of course, but we will give him, let's go to 210, my man versus Youngin.
Come on, my man.
That's an easy
one.
I love my man. Very good, brother. Appreciate it. All right, we're going to come back to playback. Now, this is going to go right into his wheelhouse, Junis.
Oh, yeah.
He thought 1960 was great football. I don't know. I never saw that game. And, you know, there's a certain thing that gets a little prehistoric for me. But, all right, we're going to throw back to a long time ago. Coming up as we celebrate Eagles quarterbacks, Ron Jaworski. We're going to celebrate Jaws and one of his great games. That's next on the playback. It's Cuz Radio with Junis, 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
It's 97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back, 12:20. Cuz Radio with the Junis. I will say this about football. Our last caller, who I liked a lot, but I can't go. I've never seen the 1960 championship. I mean, shame on me. Like, I know, but anything pre-Super Bowl feels almost like BC and AD. That makes sense to you?
Yeah, remember we did the error conversation.
Yeah.
And we had the one caller who had like six errors, which was too much for me.
Right.
But, you know, was it Manning?
Oh, yeah.
Pre-Manning was right. Almost BC at this point.
Yeah, it's pre-Super Bowl. Before the Super Bowl, it's prehistoric days. Yeah. Forward pay, you throw the ball eight times. You know what I mean? Got out on it.
Yeah, it's just such different football. And we're about to do the playback. It's this one at least Jaws threw the ball a lot, but even in the 80s, it was, you know.
No, it was not. I agree.
It was 27 attempts and 30-plus carries.
Right.
And whenever they made
it. The Chargers.
Right.
Air Coryell.
But you'll hear during the playback when it is like a big pass play, they're enamored by it. They're like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
He threw it 20 yards downfield.
I will say this, though. I was having this conversation with my cousin. Football travels. Of all the games, like basketball, you even said it, like it does look a little slow, right?
Oh my God, yeah. I did, you know, when I did the 83
right,
championship, no disrespect. It was
right, of course. I'm not taking it.
Yeah, I'm watching
looks,
like, oh God.
Slow, but there is an enjoyment that I'll get watching a football game, no matter, you know, if it's from the 80s, 90s, or whatever. There was a game on, it was like from 80, it was Lars Taylor, or whatever it was, that Monday night game, Theismann. And, like, I was, like, riveted by it. I just watched it for, like, a half hour. And there's something about football that I'll sit down and I'll watch it. And it still travels. Now, I can't go all the way back to 1960, but, you know, you get my point. Let's start our playback, which we love. And this one, how about this? This is a long time ago. Sunday, September 19th. You ready? 1982. As we continue our celebration of Eagles quarterbacks, today's Ron Jaworski Day. Jaws Day on the show, live from Cleveland Municipal Stadium. NFL on CBS. Tom Brookshire, our own Brookie. And that Wayne Walker. Who the hell is Wayne Walker? Let's start with the intro with Brookie and Wayne Walker talking about Jaws and the Birds.
Eagle offense was on a hot roll. Jaworski's greatest day, Carmichael's greatest catch. And yet, the Redskins got 37 points and beat the Eagles in the home opener. And so today at Municipal Stadium in Cleveland, Ohio, it's the Philadelphia Eagles against the Cleveland Browns. And the Eagles haven't won here since 1960.
I'm Tom Brookshire. I used to wear the Eagle green. With me is Wayne Walker. He used to wear that Honolulu blue for Detroit for 15 years. Last week, Jaworski threw 38 times, but they lose the football game. I had a feeling talking to different people, including Jaworski, that Romeo might become conservative and run Wilbert a lot and not throw the ball as much. Do you think so?
Tom, I know that he was really happy with the game plan that they put together last week. Jaworski did throw 38 times. He had the best day of his career. I doubt very much we'll see him put the ball in the air 38 times today. Dick Vermeil will only do that perhaps if his team falls behind or the game is close. I think we'll see a whole lot more of Wilbert Montgomery. We're just about ready to go for the kickoff. Now let's go to Tom Brookshire.
Wow. So Wayne Walker says Jaworski won't throw as much unless they go down early. Well, Jaws threw the ball 41 times this game. And it's because they went down early. Here are the Browns. A quarterback, Brian Sipe, throwing a touchdown pass to that great GM, Ozzie Newsome.
Sipe changing the offense. Looks like an audible. Great drop back. Oh, a little bit of pressure and touchdown. Ozzie Newsome. And a lunging catch in the end zone. The Browns draw ahead 7-0. A 71-yard drive in 10 plays. And Vermeil's offense has yet to come onto the field.
There are 80,000 tickets sold for this game.
What? How many?
80,000.
That crowd sounded outrageous, did it not?
It did. You got to give the dog pound credit.
Wow.
Back then, the dinosaur pound seems like.
Holy moly, that was outrageous. It sounded incredible, did it not? Oh, wow. All right. It was loud. Eagles now on offense trailing. It's 3rd and 9. Jaws to that young Mike Quick.
Here's shotgun, another 3rd down. Thanks to the Eagles. Browns took it right down and scored on an opening drive. There's trips to the left side of the formation. Jaworski going away from it. The number 82 makes a diving catch. Mike Quick, the number one draft out of North Carolina State. Looks like Jaworski's not happy with the pattern the young man ran.
That's awesome. Eagles get inside the Browns 5. But they can't do anything on the first 3 downs. So here we go, 4th down. And here's Jaws. What happens?
4th down, they'll go again.
Marshall Harris got good penetration from defensive end, too. 4th and 2. It's a pass. Jaworski will try to bootleg it. He's close to the goal line. Let's see if they call it a touchdown or not.
The Eagles stopped Jaworski dead. Evidently, they didn't. Let's look at here. Goal line both ways. 3 tight ends. This is a bootleg. It looked like the last play. Jaworski keeps this time and rolls right. Look at, he's got Cower, the linebacker, falling. Look at this right here. Dixon, the only man that can save this touchdown, goes in, makes the hit. Clarence Scott helps out. Here comes Cousineau to keep Jaworski from breaking the plane of the goal line. That was a tough call to make.
Wow. Bill Cower came in with the stop.
Yes.
Dude, that's outrageous. You know what's crazy about that? They got 3 tight ends. And they try to do a Jaws bootleg.
Yes. And I watched that play. Jaws wasn't the quickest on his feet. I go, you might as well have just given it to Wilbert again.
I know. 4th and 2 into 2. 4th and goal to 2. That's crazy. How about how archaic the offenses are? Eagles forced a punt, and they put together another drive, right? They get to the Browns 30, 2nd and 9, Jaws back to pass.
2nd down, and 8 to go on the 30-yard line. A 3-step drop by Jaworski, hits Ron Smith, and Smith can't hang on at the 16-yard line. Chip Banks was trailing him, but Smith looked like he was going to open up pretty fast there.
They were giving Lawrence Johnson, the young guy we talked about earlier, the left cornerback, a little bit of help that time. That was that double-double over there. He came up, made a quick bump on number 81, Ron Smith, but right in the dead zone before the safety could come over, Jaworski had it on the money.
Wow, Jaws.
Hey, what do you know? An Eagles quarterback or wide receiver that drops a pass. Hey,
I was thinking the same thing. Are you got to be kidding me. The drops have plagued us since those days. Eagles, well, I'm getting a field goal, make it 7-3. Birds force another 3-and-out on defense. Under 4 minutes left in the first half, Eagles hoping to cut into the lead. They get into Cleveland territory. Jaws finds Wilbert.
Slot right, that's Harold Carmichael. Lone remaining back is Harrington. Jaworski going on his slant to Wilbert Montgomery, who catches it at the 26-yard line. He was closely covered. That was just a great grab.
That's just a marvelous throw, too. One thing about Montgomery, he runs so easy when he's out there. He just flows and strides, and the defensive backs aren't used to seeing him out there wide, and they just can't believe that he gets up on him so fast because he's not working hard when he runs. He's kind of a floater, but he is going down there burning speed. Look at this throw and the catch right there. That's perfect. You cannot defense against that.
Wow. Hey, go back to it, man. Westbrook.
Yep.
Right? Shady McCoy. Eagles always had running backs. Now Miles Sanders. That could catch the ball out of the backfield. All right, but the next play, we're throwing some love to Jaws. But this one, not good.
A 1st and 10 on the Browns 15. Two tight ends out there. Wilbert Montgomery, the only back, running back. The three-step drop. Oh, intercepted. Intercepted at the 9-yard line by the Cleveland Brown. A diving player came through from the left corner.
Lawrence Johnson has been much maligned here in Cleveland. As I mentioned, 3 years ago he was drafted, getting a start today because Ron Bolton is injured. Watch Jaworski send Vito Cab out to his area to the right, hoping to influence him, number 84. But Johnson didn't bite with the tight end running the slant. He stayed right with the ball, came up with his second interception of the year.
Yeah, I mean, in fairness to Jaws, Vito Cab.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Come on. Vito Cab. Are you kidding me? Is that a wine? Vito Cab. All right, let's jump ahead to the fourth quarter.
It's a good line.
Brown still leads 7-3. It's early in the quarter. They got the ball. They're driving. And they're going to score. And take a listen to how bad the field was at Cleveland Municipal Stadium.
The Eagle defense seemed to slump after that last catch by Newsom. That looks like they've shrugged their shoulders a little bit.
The second up now is the ball is won about the 3-yard line. Maybe the two, closer to the two, perhaps.
What kind of surface is that?
Look it down there. That's right. The defensive line's going to have to play out of the warning track of baseball. It could be a little slippery down there for them.
High formation. Slot right. Charlie White. In for a touchdown. The hands are up.
Uh-oh. Eagles down 14-3. Wasn't that cool? They mentioned the warning track.
Yeah, I guess the Indians were playing there too.
Yeah, they were.
It's like Oakland, but at least that's midfield.
Right.
Right. You're trying to get your cleats in because you're trying to do a goal line stand. But you're on
right.
The dirt.
No, it's. I mean, dude, with those guys had the conditions. That's one thing. I mean, it was. We talking about prehistoric. I mean, the stadiums were prehistoric.
Right.
These monstrosities, like that place, 80,000 people, no amenities, right? Cold water in the shower, field all messed up. Anyway, Eagles down 14-3. Jaws has played well, but they struggled to get to the end zone. Now, with about 10 minutes to go, Jaws finds that Ron Smith, who had dropped a big pass earlier, but this time he hangs on.
How quickly did Joe try to get the touchdown?
I think he's going to try to get the ball downfield right away. They did last week. It was successful. It opens up the rest of it for him.
Smith is to the bottom of the screen. Carmichael to the top. Montgomery, the remaining back. Fake to Wilbert. Jaworski going for it. Going for it. Ron Smith. Smith has it for a touchdown. Good call by Wayne Walker. Go get it right away, and the Eagles got it. Dixon just couldn't stay with Ronnie Smith, who is really a good athlete.
Ricky, that's the Sid Gilman influence on this football team. He knows that even though you got to pass an offense in there, that you're just not going to live and die with the short pass. He was the one last week against the Redskins at halftime talking to Dick Vermeil and said, Dick, you got to go deep with the football. They came out in the third quarter, were very successful with it against the Redskins. I know this is his thinking right here. Play action pass, but that shouldn't have fooled one Cleveland Brown on first and 10 in this situation.
Gosh, it went great.
Can't go short all the time, huh?
That's right.
Very interesting.
That's right. That's right.
Can't have receivers who drop the ball and you can't dink and dunk.
Oh, my God. It's amazing. So, Birds force another three and out from the Browns. They get the ball back now. Less than 7 minutes to go. It's 14-10. Birds need to put together another drive, and it starts with Jaws finding his main man on a 3rd and 10. Big number 17, HOF.
Nobody has left the stadium. There are almost 80,000 people here. Might be the biggest crowd to ever watch the Eagles play football. Third down 10. Jaworski being rushed. Carmichael makes a catch inside the 30. Burrell finally making a tackle. What a target number 17 is.
A great clutch throw again by Jaworski and a fine catch by Harold Carmichael. He was working against number 20 as he comes in motion, Judson Flint. Carmichael in motion right here. Starts it up now as the inside receiver there in that trio. He's the middle guy. It's a bump right there. Flint in good shape. The throw's a little bit behind him. And look at the adjustment Harold makes to make that catch.
How about it? How about it? What a play by Harold. Eagles in Cleveland territory. They get down to the 11. Another third down. This time third and five. Jaws, he's looking, looking, looking. And who does he find?
Third down and five. Jaworski from shotgun through rush. He's got a man, Canfield. Canfield scores a touchdown. Billy Canfield, the little weightlifter with a 9.4 speed, and Jaworski cannot believe he was knocked down late. I believe Jaworski thinks he was rough as he passed the football. He is mad. I've never seen Ron Jaworski this mad.
They had everybody spread out. There wasn't a tight end in the ballgame. Three wide receivers. Canfield comes out of the backfield. The defense is spread. We said this guy is such a clutch performer. I'm really impressed with him.
Wow.
Sensational.
No tight ends. He said, what, three wide?
Yes.
Who was that for, Mason? Billy Canfield. The little weightlifter, as Brookie called him.
Yes.
Eagles now up 17-14. Browns, though, they're going on a comeback trail. Minute left in the game, and here's what happened.
First and 15. Logan in motion. Everybody's out. He's got a lot of time. Side to side and chase to throws. Intercepted, knocked away. Caught by Alvin Gates. Newsom catches a touchdown pass. One of the great catches in National Football League history. The man, the only calm person is Sam Natigliano. Everybody else in Cleveland just jumped out of the upper deck. Ozzie Newsom makes one of the great catches you'll ever see against Roy L. Young.
Wow, Andrew. How about that?
That was very foam.
Yeah.
Is it intercepted? No!
Who's your man that you love? We both love him.
Charles?
What's that?
Charles Davis?
No, he does the real descriptive play-by-play. He makes an arching spiral!
Oh, Kevin Harlan, yeah. Yes.
That's it, Kevin Harlan.
Yes.
That bagged. He said, one of the great catches in National Football League history. You go, wow, really? What happened?
Yeah,
rookie?
Exactly.
The ball tipped, and he makes a great arching, falling, stumbling catch for the touchdown. All right, Eagles now down. Got about inside a minute to go. Eagles have the ball at their own 34. We're celebrating quarterbacks and their performances. This here's Jaws. And he gets things going to Carmichael.
Rover Montgomery is slotted. We are shotgun now. Smith and Carmichael to the top of the screen. Jaworski outside to Harold Carmichael. Catched it off his shoes and stepped out before midfield. Now that's a set of hands.
Now I was just going to say, did he catch that? That was a great grab over there because Jaworski threw him a sinker.
Wow. 37 seconds left now. Jaws back to pass again. This time, the great rookie, Mike Quick.
Carmichael and Ron Smith to the bottom of the screen. Jaworski across the middle for Quick catches the ball. There's a yellow flag down. Quick caught the ball about the 34-yard line. What a diving catch that was by a rookie.
About that. Eagles now get to the Browns 32. Jaws out of the shotgun. And he's going to go deep.
Jaworski, number 7, has gone all the way and been extremely good today. Smith and Carmichael to the bottom. Jaworski. Jaworski going to Harold Carmichael, who catches it and it goes to the 2.5-3 yard line. Great throw by Ron Jaworski going back. Wow, what a throw and catch.
Jaworski's getting all kinds of time from his offensive line. That time Carmichael on Judson Flint. And a great touch pass by number 7, Jaworski, as he lofted it over Flint's head. Watch this. There's the two of them right there in your picture. They'll be the primary players in this one.
All right. Now, of the 30 seconds left, Josh masterful on this drive. Inside the 5-yard line. Eagles need a touchdown. And here's Leroy Harris. You ready? Listen up.
Overtime score. Pittsburgh beats Cincinnati. Bradshaw hits Stallworth with a 3-yard touchdown pass.
Eagles have 2 timeouts left.
A 3 tight end formation. Short yardage offense. Hand off. Leroy Harris, the fullback, scores a touchdown. Leroy Harris at about 2:35 scores the touchdown with 22 seconds left. And Jaworski did jump for joy.
Oh, how about that, Andrew? Eagles go on to win it. Jaws with the comeback. He was great down the stretch. Man, it felt, didn't it feel ancient?
Yes.
That's wild.
Yes.
80,000 people at Cleveland Municipal Stadium.
Yeah, that's impressive.
It is. It really is. I mean, I going back, what did you learn? I always ask you this all the time. What did you learn in watching that game?
I don't know, because it was kind of, I don't want to say like today's football. I mean, Jaws was going downfield, right? You know, he threw the ball 40 times.
And Jaws could be accurate. Jaws is a good quarterback, man.
Right. I mean, it was very, right? You drops, right? The Walker guy, whoever the color analyst was saying, you got to go downfield sometimes. Right? Like, it was very similar. Now, I know that era of football is very different from where we are today, but that specific game that we just did the playback for was pretty close to, I mean, obviously, athleticism a little different, but pretty close to what you would see today.
Yeah.
But again, they were enamored by, like, 30-yard passes. Right? Now we're enamored when Patrick Mahomes does a no-look pass for 20 yards.
Oh, my God.
Right?
Right.
Because a 30-yard pass is, like, nothing.
I know.
You go, oh, nice play.
Think about that for a second, right? Think about how crazy that is. Like, when you think about Patrick Mahomes, and then you think, like, you know, a game like that.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you had Ozzie Newsome, you know, catching balls down. Right, it was a tight end, right? Unreal. All right, I love this stuff. So we'll continue. We'll talk about it. We'll get back to losing your sports innocence. 610-632-0975. That's your phone number. Always a good time to get in after the playback. There's usually some open lines. 610-632-0975. Cuz Radio with the Tunis. Hope you enjoyed today's playback. Let's talk about the Bagster. I want to throw all of baseball in a Bagster. Can we get a Bagster big enough to have all those owners, all those players, and the commissioner, and Mr. Met, put them all in the Bagster bag. The Bagster bag can handle any job. Even this, all those greedy pigs, they can handle all of it. The Bagster bag. You can find it at Home Depot, Lowe's, local improvement stores everywhere for just $29.99. That's right. The Bagster bag holds 3,300 pounds of waste. The Bagster bag. It's there for your spring cleanup. It's on demand. You buy it. You fill it. With, I don't know, you clean out the basement, the garage, you're remodeling the bathroom, you're remodeling the deck, whatever it is, indoor, outdoor, the Bagster bag can take on that job, and then you just call waste management, poof, it's gone. This is Anthony Gargano telling you to clean it up this spring with the Bagster dumpster in the back.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right.
What up?
All right. Welcome back, Cuts Radio with Junis. I'm kind of ready for summer, too, man, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I can dig it. I hope you enjoyed the playback. That was a lot of fun.
See, I'll take you behind the curtain a little bit. When I put together the football playbacks, right? It's mainly football and baseball. You can look up the more recent box scores and see exactly where in the game they scored a touchdown or where a run is scored. But when you go further back in time, they don't do the play-by-play breakdown, right? So, like, when I did this 1982 game, it doesn't say first and 10, 2-yard run, Wilbert Montgomery. Second and 8, incomplete pass, right? It doesn't have that. So I actually have to watch the entirety of these games. And, like, I enjoyed it. I don't know what it was. Like, it was this morning. I got up earlier this morning knowing I was going to be doing this game.
I know you did. You texted me, like, 7 o'clock.
Yeah, and I watched, like, the first half of the game at home and then watched the second half here. And, you know, started cutting the audio, obviously, while I was here. And just, I really enjoyed it. Because you see, like you said earlier, football kind of, it goes through.
It does, man. But I was having the conversation with my cousin about it. Football travels, right? Like, football, you can watch football. You know, you can watch football from the 80s. I also like the stadium. Like, I was watching the game. When you said it, because I forgot all about it. I had no recollection of that game. And, I mean, I was a kid. So,
right.
You know, I didn't really remember. I mean, I know I watched it. But, when you think about it, I looked at that the stadium and the grass and, you know, the dirt. And
yeah, the dirt on the goal line. Come on, guys. Can't cover that.
Right now. It's really cool, though. You know, like, I don't know. I always like stadiums. I'm a big stadium fan. So I kind of, I liked looking at that stuff. There was a, like, I used to love, when I was a kid, there was a, that Metropolitan Stadium in Minnesota was outdoors. And you would see, like, anytime, like, they showed the Vikings, they would be like mounds of snow, like mountains of snow behind the players.
Yeah, you saw their breath at the line. Like those old NFL films, right? Like with the West Side Rumble music in the background.
Oh, my God.
It's,
yeah,
it's the zoom in. Yeah. It's the zoom in on the offense and defensive lines. The zoom in on the trenches. And they're all breathing. And you just see it. It's great.
Oh, my God. I love that. And you know what I love the most is, you know, when you saw that, it was like bigger than life, man. It was like true gladiator.
Oh yeah. Oh, like when I was a kid going to the vet, I was like, oh my God, this is the most beautiful place on earth.
Yeah.
It's a dump, right? But like when you're seven, you know, you're like, this place is, you know, I play baseball, no, but look at that. That's so right. Cool.
No, but there was something. There was something magical about those buildings.
Yeah, it's like a gladiator.
Yeah, yeah.
Coliseum.
That's exactly it. And so when you saw like 80,000, imagine that, like 80,000 people. And, you know, they're packed.
Right.
And it's freezing. It was the same way, like, you know, why, like the Vikings, the Purple People Eaters, and like these... It's a shame they went dome. Not that I don't blame them.
Right.
I wouldn't want to sit out there. But it's a shame they went dome. I would think it would be such a bigger home field advantage, right? Like, if Minnesota played outdoors, wouldn't they have a dramatic home field advantage?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, depending on who they're, like, if they're playing Green Bay.
Well, I mean, that's,
but, you know, yeah, okay. Like, anyone south, or even, I don't know, like, it's colder than it is in Philadelphia, right? So you have a lot of advantage against a lot of teams.
I mean, I would think, I like the outdoor, like, I like Denver being outdoor. Kansas City being outdoor, Green Bay,
Seattle, but that's the only problem is like it's like raining.
Yeah, but like that's a part of football. Part of me wanted to see college football in the winter.
Oh, when they were talking about
the
schedule change.
Yeah, I kind of wanted to see that. I wanted to just watch games and snowstorms and wind and the horrible weather, ice. There's nothing better than that, quite frankly. Let's go to Ryan. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Ryan.
Hey, what's going on?
What's going on, my brother?
Much. Out here working. Same stuff, you know. Thanks for you guys being on there. You know, we're getting closer to sports being back, maybe, sort of, aside from baseball. I think we need to start referring to the baseball owners and players. Like, I think that was Mikey Mitz, where he wouldn't say Philadelphia Flyers. Remember that?
For
a few seasons, he just called him the hockey team.
Yeah.
we don't even refer to him on the station by their name anymore. So you're talking about the sports innocence thing and that part of it. Mine was probably the whole T.O. Donovan situation when they got. Yeah, they got T.O. Donovan said he never had weapons for years and years, and then they got the best receiver in football, and they turned into the best team in the NFL, and then they end up just like that whole season, including losing to the Patriots, who everyone's pretty sure they cheated. So you got the Super Bowl that got stolen from us from the cheating from the Patriots, and then you have the rift between Donovan and T.O., the childish nonsense that went on behind the scenes. And then we ended up, you know, losing all those years of having, you know, the best QB wide receiver hookup in football.
I mean, it's amazing, right? Because he comes in, they had this great season, they can't coexist together, and then they were bad 05, 06, 07. He was hurt. McNabb was hurt twice.
Yeah.
And, you know, you go back in 08, but it was really the beginning and the end of Donovan that was.
Yeah, and I don't know if I can put more blame on one or the other. I guess I would hedge towards Donovan. But, you know, I love T.O. He was on the – I'm sure Tunis remembers.
Well, T.O. was crazy. Like, he was a goof, right?
Like, yeah, you know, you got the best wide receiver in football. Like, you know that guy's going to be a diva. Like, that's who you want. Like, you wanted that guy. It's kind of like the Rodman situation with the Jordan documentary. Let him do his thing, whatever he does, as long as he shows up on the field and plays, leave him alone.
Right,
you know?
Right.
You know, and he never really got in serious off the field trouble, like, you know, like with the law or anything. He was just, you know, he was a knucklehead.
Oh, but he was crazy, though.
He said stupid stuff, you know, and sit-ups in the driveway, everything. Yeah. You know, he called a lot of attention to himself, but he backed it up on the field. And the whole thing, like, before that, as a kid, I was kind of like, everything that existed in sports was on the field. Right. You know, everything was, you know, you put the best team together you can, and all that matters is, you know, points scored and touchdowns and stats and winning. And then you realize that, you know, there's another aspect to it where, you know, your team and your city suffers having to watch bad football for years just because, you know, two knuckleheads can't get along on the same team. So that kind of...
I get you. That's a great call by you, brother. I hear you. All right, let me give you a game, a salutation game. You ready?
Yeah.
Junis, go ahead. Give me a game.
All right, let's go. All right, we'll go a 4-5 here. We'll go playa versus kid.
Oh, man. That's a tough one. I got to go play. I got to play.
Yeah, play it. Yeah, play over kid. You got to go play it. Over kid.
Yeah, I would. I've used kid much more because of playing sports, right? Like you go, kid, or great play kid, or, you know, how many times? Jalen Hurts, I'm sure he's a great kid.
But that doesn't count.
Right. You're right. It's when you say, what's up, kid?
It's got to be right. You have to say, you know, I don't use kid to somebody else.
Right.
Once in a while.
I do on the ball field.
Yeah, I know. You like that.
What's up, kid?
You like that, bro?
I don't use bro.
You like that, bro? Douchey kind of thing.
I go, man. Yeah. What's up, man?
You do the man. I like the man. What's up, man?
What's up, man?
What you doing, man?
By the way, speaking of baseball.
If I call you, go, what are you doing, man?
What's up, man? By the way.
That's pretty good.
Speaking of baseball.
You saw it?
Saw what? The Rosenthal? The Jeter?
Not the Jeter. The Scott Boras?
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah.
What do we have on Boras? It's probably more entertaining than the Jeter thing. I'm just going to rip the Jeter thing.
I didn't see the Jeter thing.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.